From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. You've heard about Hillary's secret emails. I'm Hillary's secret mail. Bill Curtis, and here is your host at the Hill Auditorium in Ann Arbor, Michigan, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. So great to be here in Ann Arbor. Yes, A-Square, Ann Arbor, home of the University of Michigan, one of the nation's number one party schools. But being public radio types, we're doing here what we all actually did back in college, hanging out in the theater building, totally sober, hoping somebody will call. Oh. Will it be you? Please talk to us. The number to call is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi there. This is Robert Schwartz from Washington, D.C., by way of Chicago, Illinois.
By way of Chicago?
That's right.
So you're saying you grew up in Chicago.
I did.
Yeah, and now you live in Washington?
I am.
Right, right. And what do you do there?
I work in public relations and public affairs.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you work for the good guys or the bad guys?
I like to say the good guys. I think the occasional bad guy here and there that we make a good guy.
Really?
Yeah.
You have drunk the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. All right, Robert, let me introduce you to our panel. First up, it's a comedian who'll be performing October 15th through the 17th at the Comics Comedy Club at the Mohegan Sun Casino. It's Alonzo Bowden.
Hello, sir.
Next, it's a feature writer for the Washington Post, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hey, Robert.
Finally, it's a humorist and author, most recently of Alphabet Her Juice, The Joy of Text. It's Roy Blunt, Jr.
Hello, Robert.
Hey there.
Robert, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Bill this time. Bill Curtis, of course, is going to recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you will win our prize, Scorekeeper Emeritus, Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right. Your first quote is from a, quote, senior U.S. official.
If he wants to jump into that mess, good luck.
Who is now sending his troops to join all the fun going on in Syria?
Would that be Vladimir Putin?
It would be, Robert. Very good. Russia decided to intervene in Syria. They're sending airplanes to bomb the forces now fighting President Assad, and the U.S. is not happy about it. That is our country to bomb. Seriously, Putin and Obama are like divorced parents fighting over the kids. No, this is my weekend to bomb them. Obama and Putin, they actually met Monday at the UN. They posed for the most awkward handshake scene since your new boss caught you coming out of the bathroom zipping your fly. It was such an intense moment. I don't know if you guys saw it. Neither one are smiling. They're gripping hands. The tension was so high, they were either going to kill each other or start kissing.
Ooh. Do you think Putin's mad because Obama probably looks better with his shirt off?
Mm-hmm.
I think he probably is.
Not to be anti-American, okay? And the president looks wonderful with his shirt off, but I would say that Putin, just on the bare chest scale, does pretty well.
You have always had a soft spot for Putin. What is it?
No, but I'm saying he looks good without a shirt. That is not a moral judgment. That's a purely superficial.
Do you know, if he hears you say that, he's going to go invade another country?
Right.
You're just encouraging him. Here is your next quote.
Garbage men get used to the smell of bad garbage.
That was John Boehner sharing some wisdom, maybe advice, with the people who want to do what?
That would be take over for his role, maybe?
Yes, to succeed him as
being the next speaker?
Exactly, Speaker of the House of Representatives. Last week, John Boehner said he was stepping down as Speaker and leaving Congress. And since then, all kinds of Republicans have been heading to the tanning booth hoping to replace him. For a man who was known for crying, a At the smallest provocation, this is true, he cried during an interview with the Golf Channel. Boehner looked totally overjoyed when he announced his resignation. He was so direct about it. He didn't say, you know, I want to spend more time with my family. He looked at the fellow congressman and he said, I want to spend less time with you.
What exactly was the garbage reference?
Well, he was being asked, Mr. Boehner was, about the difficulty of dealing with his recalcitrant Republican members going from crisis to crisis.
I love that only a politician would specifically say bad garbage versus the good garbage. normally I'm with the good garbage, but then you get used to being with the bad garbage.
And that's when you know you got to go home.
The Tea Party faction really want more of a badass speaker, right? I mean, Boehner was too soft for him. He's always crying. They want somebody who has little black toads crawling out of their eyes.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Not tears. We need some...
I think Voldemort was busy.
Yeah.
So, Robert, your last quote is about water being found somewhere this week.
That could just be Ness's way of mocking California.
That was John Fugelsang reacting to what, quote, big, unquote, announcement from NASA.
Did they find something on a certain planet?
They did find something.
Some water?
Yes, they found water on Mars. Is what they did. NASA, let it be known, they had a huge announcement to be made about Mars. And everybody was like, this is great. Will they have the Martian right there at the press conference? Or will he be Skyping in from Mars? Turns out they found water. Except they didn't really find water. They found signs that liquid water sometimes flows on the surface because of certain wavelengths reflected from certain crevices somewhere. That's right. A live news conference broadcast around the world to announce a high probability of damp sand.
Well, Peter, as someone who lives in L.A., I could say that is pretty much how much water we have.
Yeah.
When we find damp sand, we grab it.
Yeah.
Have you had to personally cut back on it?
No, it hasn't. It hasn't affected me. I think the worst thing is, you know, our cars are dirty, and we're not happy about that. We like our cars clean. Oh, yeah, we like our cars clean. But other than that...
I still think we should build a pipeline from here to up there.
Yeah. To be honest, the excitement about the water isn't so like, oh, great, we can get some water. But if there's flowing liquid water, there might be microbial life. There might be alien life. And if there is, you know that Donald Trump will promise to build a wall in space to keep it away. Bill, how did Robert do in
Or? The hipsters will move in and gentrify it.
Robert did very, very well. He got 3 right. Congratulations, Robert.
Thank you, Robert. Thanks for playing.
Thanks so much.
Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Roy, on Thursday, the U.S. healthcare system moved to a new system of codes to describe injuries and illnesses on official forms and medical reporting. Among the very unusual injuries for which there is a specific code is what?
Texting, some kind of overstrenuous texting kind of thing? Is it something like that?
We don't know, but you're probably right, because every single injury you can think of now has its own code. The new system is called ICD-10, and here are some of the codes that doctors will use for patients who come to the hospital. And we want to say right now, this is completely real. We made none of these up. Code W61.11, bitten by a macaw. Code V96, unspecified balloon accident. V61.62, struck by duck. Z63.1 is injuries resulting from problems in relationship with in-laws.
Sure.
And I think I can say this is our favorite. If you are rushed to the emergency room and the doctors yell, "We got a V91.07! Bless you and good luck, because you have suffered a burn due to water skis on fire.
Whoa!
That's the one! Wait! So, explain this to me. I read that, and I thought, how? Like, you're either water skiing on land, which in case then you would negate the word, because you wouldn't be water skiing.
Mm. Right.
So how do you water ski and have your water ski on fire?
We were thinking about this.
Wow.
Okay.
And the only thing we could think of is sometimes you see in stunt water ski shows, they go up a ramp and they go through a flaming ring.
Right? Oh, sure.
So if your water skis caught fire and you were in the air long enough for the flames to singe you before you hit the water, extinguishing the flame, you see?
Mm-hmm.
You could, in fact, suffer injuries from water skis on fire.
But you'd be wet. You'd be wet, so you
But you'd be burned.
Doesn't happen on Mars.
Oh, and this is interesting. I've just been notified through my producers that, Roy, you were, in fact, correct to begin with, because Y93.C2 is a texting engine.
Uh-huh. All right. All right.
Coming up, our panelists get in trouble. It's Bluff the Listener. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
A quick shout-out to one of our sponsors, Casper, an adorable ghost of a young boy who No, I'm corrected. It is, in fact, an online retailer for mattresses. Casper mattresses are American-made and obsessively engineered for comfort. They use two technologies, latex foam and memory foam, to give you just the right amount of sink and bounce. And they have a risk-free trial. You can try out your Casper mattress for 100 days with free delivery and returns. It's outrageous comfort at a polite price. So go to casper.com/waitwait to check out their options. And they have a special offer for you listeners of this podcast. Use that promo code WAITWAIT. That's WAITWAIT to redeem $50 towards a Casper mattress for you. Terms and conditions apply, but don't they always?
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We are playing this week with Roxanne Roberts, Roy Blunt Jr., and Alonzo Bowden. Here again is your host at the Hill Auditorium in Ann Arbor, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Right now, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, Ron. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Leah from Madison, New Jersey.
From Madison, New Jersey. I know Madison well. Grew up not far from there. What do you do there?
Well, I am in seminary here. I go to Drew, and I am only here half the week.
Well, where are you the rest of the week?
Philadelphia.
So you drive from Philadelphia all the way to Madison, New Jersey to attend classes and then drive home to Philadelphia?
Yeah, but not every day. I come up Tuesday and go home Thursday.
So you're basically trying to spend as little time as possible in New Jersey.
That's right.
Well, welcome to the show, Leah. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Leah's topic?
This is going in your file.
Now, we've all done something we weren't supposed to do at work. Stolen some office supplies, looked at Facebook, stored State Department emails on a personal server. This week you read in a story of an employee getting in trouble for some unusually annoying workplace behavior. Our panelists are going to tell you about it. Pick the one that's telling the truth, and you'll win our prize. Carl Castle's voice in your voicemail. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
Well, all right then. First up, let's hear from Alonzo Bowden.
Plumbing is beneath me. Renowned architect Willis Jefferson at the firm Jefferson Carter & Associates has a reputation for beautiful artistic designs of public and private buildings. What he doesn't do is bathrooms. Well, he uses bathrooms, but he refuses to incorporate them in his designs. His associates are really getting frustrated with having to redesign his buildings with the required facilities. All this came to light when a Riverside contractor got an early look at the plans for a new library and asked the city council if they could hold it until they got to the corner gas station. He said that's what library patrons would have to do, and followed that with a few tasteless jokes about the reading room. When asked about the gaffe, Willis replied that plumbing is not the work of an artist. People pay for my vision not to flush.
Ooh. All right, an architect who does beautiful buildings but does not do bathrooms. Your next story of somebody getting into trouble at work comes from Roxanne Roberts.
It started with celery sticks. When Sarah Ellison began working at a New York insurance company, she snacked on celery, carrots, apples, and other loud foods. At first, Jim Peters asked her to eat in the break room, a suggestion she rejected, saying she needed to keep eating because she was trying to lose weight. So Peters began crunching on pork rinds, chips, and other annoying foods. Things escalated rapidly. She began making vegetable smoothies at her desk using a loud blender. He retaliated by buying bacon cheeseburgers, fries, cookies, and letting them sit uneaten just inches from her with a desk fan directing the aroma of bacon directly in her face. Things came to a head in July when the two exchanged words. Then Peters threw a pizza crust at her, and Ellison responded with zucchini and banana peel. Before co-workers intervened, Peters slipped on the peel and broke his collarbone. He's suing Ellison for assault with deadly produce.
A food fight in an insurance office gets totally out of hand, leading to a lawsuit. And your last story of workplace malfeasance comes from Roy Blunt, Jr.
When a government agency sets up a helpline, we all know that what is expected of the workers who answer the phone, that they be just blandly unhelpful enough that callers will give up and go away. But this week, we learned that it's not always that simple. Ronald Dillon, who has been answering IT calls at the New York City Health Department help desk, has no doubt irritated his callers sufficiently, but annoyed his higher-ups even more. At first, Dillon came on too much as a real guy. I don't know, but I hear him saying things like, "Hey, what you got for us, unhealthy lady?" Told to cut that out, Dillon started responding to callers by pretending to be a robot. What exactly is so important about your health? Reprimanded again, he went back to, I don't know, things like, "How about a little hip-hop health help?" But apparently the robot thing had got good to him because he lapsed back into it, and this week he was suspended. Me, I think he's lots more fun than helpers who, going strictly by the book, merely misdirect you to another department.
All right, here are your choices. One of these people got in trouble this week. Was it from Alonzo Bowden, an architect who never puts in bathrooms because they are beneath him? From Roxanne Roberts, two people who got into an escalating food fight at their desks at an insurance office in New York City? Or from Roy Blunt Jr., a guy on an IT helpline who simply would not stop using his robot voice?
Since I've dealt with some IT workers in my life, I'm going to say it's Roy's story about the guy who answered in a robot voice.
Are you telling me that you believe that an IT guy might find that really funny?
I believe that might be their sense of humor, yeah.
Well, to bring you the correct answer, well, just listen to this.
You have reached the help desk. This is Mr. Dillon. How may I help you?
That was a recording of Ronald Dillon, a help desk employee at the New York City Department of Health, pretending to be a robot despite admonitions from his superiors. Congratulations, Leah. You got it right. You earned a point for Roy. You've won our prize. Carl Castle recorded the greeting in your voicemail. Well done, Leah. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
And now the game where we like to talk about experts about things they are not expert on. It's called Not My Job. In Ann Arbor, Michigan, there's no topic bigger than Michigan football. Every game day, so many people pack into Michigan Stadium that it becomes a supermassive black hole, sinks into the earth, and they have to build another one. Sports writer John Bacon has lived in Ann Arbor his whole life. His latest book is called End Zone, The Rise, Fall, and Return of Michigan Football. John Bacon, welcome to Wait, Wait.
Thank you.
So you just wrote an entire book. This is not your first book about Michigan football.
No.
How many books have you written about Michigan football?
Seven books total, and I suppose three about Michigan football.
Three about Michigan football. Why in the world should anyone outside of Michigan care about Michigan football?
I got to go back to Bob Ufer, the famous voice of Michigan football, who said... I could just stop there, actually.
Yeah.
So. He said that Michigan football is a religion, and Saturday is the holy day of obligation. And when you go around the country, wherever I go, I've been to 40 countries, and they always say, go blue, wherever you go. So I've seen that all around the world.
Yeah. Michigan. Now, I went to a college with not a very impressive football program, so this makes no sense to me. Because, I mean, when people are rooting for Michigan, right, the players change every year. They graduate or I don't know what happens to them. So are people rooting for what? They're rooting for the M? They're rooting for the tradition? They're rooting for...
As corny as it sounds, this is going to sound very corny, it's the whole aspect of being together in one place, where we don't care what your religion is, your race, anything else. If you put your fist in the air on hail, you're one of us. And that is a great religion.
Okay. There you go. Now, you teach at the University of Michigan.
I lecture on the history of college athletics and also the history of American sports writing. I teach also at Northwestern.
Wait a minute. The history of college athletics?
Where'd I lose you?
Are you one of those guys who went into writing about sports because you couldn't play them? Were you not?
That's one of the reasons, yes. I would say that. You might already know this, but I still hold the record here in Ann Arbor Huron High School for the most games in a Huron High School uniform, 86, with the fewest goals, 0, and no one's ever broken that. So there you go.
Really?
Thank you.
Is there a plaque on the wall?
There should be.
Now, you in your sports books have often taken, I guess, the George Plimpton approach of participating
right.
in the sports. So did you, practice with the University of Michigan football team when you wrote about them for the first
time? I almost did. This is a very bad idea, it turns out. Denard Robinson, the quarterback of the team at the time, said, you got to do everything we're doing. I said, I'm already following you everywhere. He said, no, man, you got to do it. And that meant actually going down to the weight room and for 6 weeks working out with the football team. It did not go well.
Well, what was it like? What are their workouts?
It was like death, but slower and louder.
Did you earn their respect?
Incredibly, I did. Not the usual way. I was getting crushed the first 15 minutes. I was doing weights. I knew I could throw up from skating, from running too much, whatever. I did not know this could be done from weights alone. So after about 15 minutes, Mike Barwis, then the strength coach at Michigan, he looks at me and he could tell that I'm not doing well. My knuckles are at the side. I'm mouth breathing. He says, Bacon, trash cans over there. And like the fraternities you did not belong to, of course, at a fraternity party, you need to tell yourself, I need to maybe go near the bathroom because I'm not quite sure how I'm feeling. You start walking towards that trash can, and once you've admitted to your mind that this might happen, your mind says, screw you, man, it's happening right now.
Right.
And then you start beating a path very quickly to that trash can, sticking my head 2 feet into a nice big industrial Rubbermaid trash can, losing my breakfast and my lunch, and while I'm in there, I'm thinking, well, this is not really a career highlight for me right now. But then I thought, well, maybe nobody saw me.
Yeah.
So I emerge very slowly and like this, and then, of course, the entire 120-member football team gives me a standing ovation for that.
Really?
They were not impressed by my previous books, bestsellers, anything else, but this impressed the hell out of them. Yeah, Bacon Man, get the poison out. You the man. It was endless.
Wow.
So, thank you.
One last question before we play the game.
Sure.
What in the world did Ohio State ever do to you guys? Seriously, you're booing. What? Perfectly fine Midwestern state, somewhere to the southeast. What did they do to you?
You're going to be baffled by this answer. They took Toledo.
When you say they took Toledo, what do you mean?
I mean exactly that. The line is supposed to go from Chicago, the state line from Chicago, straight through to Lake Erie. It's supposed to include Toledo on the Michigan side, and that is why there's this little wiggle in the state line of Michigan, because Toledo's a very important port in 1837. So Toledo's now part of Ohio, and they gave Michigan, as a result, the Upper Peninsula. Mm.
And you're angry because they got Toledo and you got the Upper Peninsula?
I got over it.
Okay. Well, John Bacon, we have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
What did you think we were going to ask you about?
John Bacon, the sports writer, we're going to ask you three questions about Bacon, the cured meat product. Answer two questions correctly. You win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice sizzling on their voicemail. Bill, who is John Bacon playing for?
Kevin Vanderveld of Ann Arbor, Michigan.
There you go. All
right. Actually, that's kind of bad, isn't it? Other guests are from India and whatnot.
Yeah.
I might see this guy.
Exactly. Here's your first question. Bacon, despite its reputation, can be good for your health as long as you use which of these products? A, the Bacon Air Oxygen Inhaler, which adds delicious bacon flavor to healthful Himalayan oxygen. B, the bacon carrot, a hat that holds a strip of bacon 2 feet in front of your face to incentivize your running. Ooh. Or C, the bicycle-powered George Foreman grill, which turns your workout into a sizzling treat.
Ooh.
One of these is really true, right?
One of those is true.
I'm incredibly going to go with two.
You're going to go with two. The bacon carrot.
It would work on me, is all I can tell you.
You're running, there's a strip of bacon, and you're running along. If you can just catch it.
I'm getting a lot of support from the crowd here today.
We want to see some blocking and tackling. No, I'm afraid it was actually A, the Bacon Air Inhaler. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to give you delicious bacon flavor without fats, salt, calories, or solid matter.
I'll bet if your name is Bacon, you're expected to smell very good in the morning. Must be hard to live up to.
Next question. As you can imagine, there are a lot of things on the market that are bacon-flavored. You can, in fact, buy bacon-flavored what? A, fuel additive. B, insulin. Or C, baby formula.
Ooh. Gotta go with C.
And you're right. You can treat your very own newborn to bacon baby, bacon-flavored baby formula. All right. You've got one right answer with one left to go. The clock is ticking down. Last question. In July of this year, a British man showed that his love for bacon had no equal when he did what? A, wrote in his will that he would like to be smoked and cured after his death. B, called 911 to have his cat arrested after his cat stole his bacon. Or C, hearing that a local Jewish day school did not serve bacon, he donated 40 pounds of it.
This is shockingly tough. I'm going to go with B.
You're right, it was B. The emergency operator said, it's not a criminal offense to let your cat eat your bacon. And they said, we don't arrest cats. Bill, how did John Bacon do on our show?
Touchdown Bacon!
Yeah.
John U. Bacon is an author, teacher, speaker, and hockey coach. His new book is End Zone, The Rise, Fall, and Return of Michigan Football. John Bacon, thank you so much for joining us. John Bacon. In just a minute, Bill gets a new pair of yoga pants. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Support for NPR and this podcast comes from Bleecker Street, presenting the new film Pawn Sacrifice. In a true story set during the height of the Cold War, American chess prodigy Bobby Fischer, played by Tobey Maguire, finds himself caught between two superpowers when he challenges the Soviet Empire. Also starring Liev Schreiber and Peter Sarsgaard, Pawn Sacrifice chronicles Fischer's struggles with genius and madness and the rise and fall of a kid from Brooklyn who captured the imagination of the world. Now playing.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We are playing this week with Roy Blunt Jr., Alonzo Bowden, and Roxanne Roberts. And here again is your host at the Hill Auditorium in Ann Arbor, Peter Sagal.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. In just a minute, Bill will honor our hosts here at the University of Michigan by finding a word that rhymes with Buckeye. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Roxanne, Pope Francis is safely back in Rome after his trip to the U.S., but a Democratic congressman from Pennsylvania made sure he'd have something to remember the Pope by. What did he do?
He went to the lectern and took the glass of water that the Pope had.
That's exactly right.
And stole it.
He did. He stole that. He boosted it. Congressman Bob Brady of Pennsylvania says as soon as the Pope took a drink from the water glass during his visit to the Capitol, he knew what he had to do. He said, quote, "I watched him drink three or four times from the glass, and I said, I'm going to go get that," which is not the first time that drinking has been mixed with a terrible decision. Brady has done this before. He took the glass President Obama drank out of during his inauguration. He has a bathtub filled with the tears of John Boehner. He seizes his chance. If you happen to go out to eat with Congressman Bob Brady and you need to go to the bathroom, take your plate with you. But
well,
this is
I would
great.
Think
yeah, go ahead.
If you stole a glass from the Pope, wouldn't he just forgive you?
This Pope would. Pope Benedict would excommunicate you, but this guy's not. Roxanne.
Yes, sir.
As thousands of refugees continue to flood into Europe, many entering Finland are facing a unique problem, and they're turning back. They say they can't stay in Finland. Why?
Does it have anything to do with Helsinki?
If I said yes, what would you then say?
I'm thinking saunas. I'm thinking hot blonde girls.
You don't know anything about Helsinki.
I was in Helsinki for about 4 hours once.
There
so.
You go.
And how did you find Helsinki? Did you enjoy yourself?
Very clean.
Very clean.
Ooh. Very clean.
Did you engage in a lot of exciting activities there?
No.
Okay,
I didn't
so
have
you
time.
Would say that Helsinki was
boring.
Exactly.
Ooh.
That's the problem.
Oh.
These people are getting to Finland and they're leaving because it's too boring.
Ooh. But
send one Iraqi refugee who had just been welcomed into Finland, quote, "You can tell the world I hate Finland. It's too cold. There's no tea, no restaurants, no bars, nobody on the streets," unquote. I mean, sure, Iraq is a horrific death trap, but at least there's stuff to do there.
These are some picky refugees.
They absolutely are.
I'm just saying.
Maybe they just don't like this guy.
Like, really? No,
like nobody's not, telling them. Nobody's telling them, like, hey, psh. Tell him there are no bars here.
That guy's a malcontent. We don't want to drink with him. Now, this refugee, if presumably he has a choice, he might want to go to Germany, where, and this is true, at least one refugee center, they're offering Zumba classes to refugees. It's great. One refugee said, "I lost everything I have and 4 pounds off my hips."
When you said refugee senator just then, I thought, oh, we lost one.
Yeah. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and get tickets to our December show in Los Angeles, California at the Dolby Theater, just like the Oscars. Also, be sure to check out our sister podcast, How to Do Everything. This week's episode is only 20 minutes long. That's so much shorter than Serial, and they'll actually give you an answer. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Alicia calling from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hey, how are things in Charlotte?
They're good. It's been raining a lot, but it's drying up, I think.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Now, Charlotte, we've been there a few times. Home to NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
Are you not excited about NASCAR?
Not really, no.
No, not your thing. So what, do they let people who don't care about NASCAR live in Charlotte?
They do.
Oh, that's good. Well, Alicia, welcome to the show. We are delighted to talk to you. Bill Curtis is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in two of the limericks, you'll be a big winner. Ready to play?
Yes.
Here is your first limerick.
If there's one thing that high tech can teach, it's that death won't inhibit my reach. Though I'm set to be buried, my words won't be hurried. I'm dead, but I'm giving the...
speech?
Yes, the speech. Very good. A company called AIM Holographics is offering people the chance to make their own holographic eulogies. This is really true. You know, like Tupac did at Coachella, right? Now you can speak to all your friends and family members without fear of being interrupted at long last. Because you're dead. You're just a hologram. You can tell people what you really think right to their faces. And make an already somber occasion freaky and deeply unsettling. Would you guys do this?
I wouldn't do that. No, I would be too busy in the afterlife. I would be up there with having a good time with the angels. And I would look back down on the rest of it, what the kind of life I used to live, and think, how did I get up here?
Here is your next limerick.
My career is not due to bum luck. It's because I'm no slovenly schmuck. As you see, I'm well-dressed, with my pants neatly pressed, and my shirts, I consistently...
tuck.
Right, tuck.
Tuck, boy.
You knew that. You want to succeed in life? Tuck your shirt in, you slob. New research by Fruit of the Loom, the NASA of underpants science. According to that, men who tuck in their shirts are 60% happier at work, make more money, and report having more dates.
Huh.
So your theory that women appreciate the untucked shirt because it saves time later is not backed up by the data. Here is your last limerick.
My workout pants fit really snug, so tight that my heart feels a tug. So warmly I'm held that emotions will swell. I feel like I'm getting a...
hug.
Yes. Yes. Remember Lululemon? They're the ones who caused a scandal by making yoga pants that gave everybody a view of your butt. Well, they're back with new pants that give your butt a hug. Lululemon. I would like to say Luluman, which is the Jamaican company. Lululemon says their new pants are designed to give you an emotional boost and feel like a, quote, comfortable embrace from a close friend. If you have a close friend who likes to grab you by the butt and never, ever let go.
So what is creepier, a hologram at your funeral or your yoga pants hugging you?
How about a hologram of you at your funeral with your hugging pants on? I didn't need any of you. I had my pants. Bill, how did Alicia do in our quiz?
3-0.
Well done, Alicia. Thank you so much. Time for our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer, now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Alonzo and Rox have 2 apiece. Roy has 3.
Well, we have flipped a coin, and Roxanne is elected to go first, so the clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill-in-the-blank. On Wednesday, Congress passed a short-term spending bill, successfully avoiding a blank.
government shutdown.
Right. Afghan officials announced Thursday that they had retaken the city of Kunduz from the blank.
The Taliban.
Right. At the UN this week, Palestinian leaders claimed that blank had broken the Oslo Peace Accords.
I'm assuming Israel.
Yes. On Thursday, meteorologists upgraded Hurricane Blank to a Category 3.
Joachim. Is that how you pronounce it?
Close enough. It's Joaquin. On Monday, Trevor Noah made his debut as the new host of The Blank.
The Daily Show.
Right. On Sunday, Sky Watchers saw a so-called blood supermoon where a regular supermoon and a blank converged.
Lunar eclipse.
Right. A passenger on a flight from Scotland to the Netherlands was arrested just because he got up to go to the bathroom and blanked.
Scotland to the Netherlands. So he got up to go to the bathroom.
This is lightning fill in the blank.
Oh, wait, I know this. He tried to open the pilot's door because he thought it was the bathroom door?
You're so close, I'll give it to you. He actually tried to open the door to the airplane to the outside.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I've been there.
Yeah. James Gray was halfway through his flight from Edinburgh to Amsterdam when he decided he needed to use the bathroom. Unfortunately, he tried to open the wrong door. We assume he thought it was natural that the door to the bathroom had explosive bolts because he was feeling the same way, you know? But did he notice the little window showing the infinite sky outside? You know, just like the airlines, they make you pee off the side. Well, how did Roxanne do?
She did very well. 7 right. She got 14 points, and 16 is the lead.
All right. Always hard to beat.
Wow.
Alonzo, you are up next. Fill in the blank. This week, Cecile Richards, the president of blank, met with Congress to discuss the calls to defund her organization.
Planned Parenthood.
Right. On Monday, presidential hopeful blank released his tax plan.
Donald Trump.
Right. According to her attorney, embattled county clerk Kim Davis met with blank during his trip to the U.S. Yes, and the Vatican has confirmed. This week, England and Wales passed a law banning people from blanking in a car with children present.
Smoking.
Right. A candidate for the New Jersey State Assembly had to drop out after reporters discovered a book he had written in which he disparaged blank.
Religion?
Yes. Also, gay people, women, blacks, Asians, senior citizens, feminists, male and female athletes, female police officers, women in the military, gun rights activists, John Tesh, vegans, Pope John Paul II, and Britney Spears.
Ooh.
Saying that she needed time to heal, tennis star blank withdrew from her final 2 tournaments of the season.
Serena Williams?
Yes, this week NSA leaker blank joined Twitter and almost instantly gained over 1 million followers.
Snowden?
Yes, Edward Snowden. A man in England said he was discriminated against at an Indian restaurant after he ordered a mild curry and his receipt read blank.
That he was weak? Or...
No, close. That he was white. The receipt said...
Okay, let's be clear that Peter said those two were...
Yes, I know. Actually, the receipt said it, so he orders, I'd like curry very mild, and he gets the food, and on the receipt it says, curry, very mild, white people. However, the restaurant says it's all a misunderstanding, and all they were doing was preparing their signature dish, curry, very mild, white people, which has chickpeas, mild curry sauce, and chunks of white people. Bill, how did Alonzo do in our quiz?
Alonzo is hot. 7 right, 14 damn. More points, 16, and tied with
Roxanne. All right, so there's a tie here.
Whoa.
How many, then, does Roy need to win?
He needs 7 to win.
Ooh. All right, Roy, here we go. This is for the game. On Wednesday, it was revealed that Russian-backed hackers tried to access Blank's email server on 5 separate occasions.
Hillary Clinton.
Right, just days after John Boehner resigned as Speaker of the House, a state GOP chairman called on blank to resign as Senate Majority Leader.
Oh, Mitch McConnell.
Right, on Monday, Shell announced that they were halting their offshore drilling operations in blank.
The Arctic.
Yes, off Alaska. This week, presidential hopeful Jeb Bush said that the football team blank should not change their name.
Redskins.
Right, after a refrigerated truck carrying cheese overturned on U.S. Highway 11 in Alabama, the DeKalb County Emergency Management Agency warned residents blank.
Here come the mice.
No, they warned residents, do not eat the cheese.
No.
At this time, they said. On Sunday, New England Patriots quarterback blank threw his 400th touchdown pass.
Tom Brady.
Right, after founding his company 50 years ago, fashion icon blank announced he was stepping down as CEO in November.
Oh, God, Ralph's good enough. Lauren, Ralph Lauren.
I would have accepted Lipschitz as well. Ah. After residents panicked when sirens went off in the middle of the day, the police apologized in the town of North Swindon and explained that the officers were blanking.
Just having a good time.
Almost. Huh? What they were doing was they were settling an argument about what sound their siren makes. Does it go woo, woo, or Nina, Nina? So North Swindon PD said that the blaring of sirens was just due to two officers debating with a four-year-old about whether the sirens went woo, woo, or Nina, Nina. And they were doing a presentation at a kindergarten, and this four-year-old said, well, what sound do your sirens make? And they, instead of doing the expected thing, which was to arrest the four-year-old, they decided to turn the sirens on and off to find out. And by the way, they all decided it was woo, woo. So, Bill, did Roy do well enough to win?
Well, he got six right for a total of 15. One short
of
the time. Roxanne and Alonzo, who are our champions in Michigan.
This podcast and the following comedic message comes from Chipotle. They know that some questions out there remain a mystery, like where exactly is Funky Town? Or why are jorts popular again? Or what is polysorbate 80? And what happened to polysorbates 1 through 79? Version 80 must be pretty special since you'll find it in other fast food. At Chipotle, their ingredients don't have numbers. They have names like avocados, poblano peppers, onions, pinto beans, and roasted tomatoes. Because food should be made from food. Chipotle, food without a side of questions.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict what will be NASA's next somewhat disappointing announcement. But first, let me tell you, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Idlecott, Berman Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Our intern is Candace Malcolm in the Mittel. Special thanks to the crew at the Hill Auditorium in Ann Arbor, B.J. Lederman. Composed our theme. Our program is produced by Miles Dornbos. Technical direction from Lorna White. Her CFO is Ann Nien. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike George Brett Danforth. Now, panel, how will NASA disappoint us next time? Alonzo Bowden.
We'll all be disappointed when the head of NASA is investigated for a close encounter of the fourth kind.
Roxanne Roberts.
NASA scientists have determined that those little green men are just hungover Michigan students.
And Roy Blunt Jr.
NASA will announce that they've sighted a great giant eyeball in the middle of Venus pointed directly toward NASA. But there is a possibility that the lens in the telescope was set on reverse.
Well, if any of those things happen, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thank you, too, Alonzo Bowden, Roxanne Roberts, Roy Blunt Jr. Thanks to Molly Motherwell and everyone at WEMU. Thanks to our fantastic audience here in Ann Arbor. I am Peter Sagal. We will see you next week. This is NPR.